Good job, you guys, for no piano. It just shows you how much we rely on the piano, right? If this happens again, I'll YouTube everything. Then we'll have, like, music or something. I don't know. Well, it comes that time for our speaker. And, you know, what's great about Wednesday night is an opportunity for people to really share their thoughts and just get used to speaking, especially if they're going to be entering the ministry program. And the gentleman speaking tonight has been part of this church for a long time. He's a good friend of mine, and he really always talks from his heart. And I really appreciate that because, you know, he talks about his journey, and he's real, and he's honest, and everyone can kind of relate to that, right, when you're there. And so give it up for David Bali.
Howdy. Welcome to the first Wednesday of the year, 2017. Nice. Yeah, just coming out of these holiday season. And 'tis the season for me to really go into incognito mode, incommunicado mode. And it's a time for me to take some time to really reflect. It's that ideal time for reflection, a time of purging, cleansing, of reminiscing over the memories that were created with family and friends, and think and pray for the tragic events as well that occurred over the past year. Could be world events, or the recent tragic and sudden death of my buddy collapsing at 36 years old from a heart attack. It's like, wow, Merry Christmas. And that was disturbing, but also it's the time of the year to go over those items I resolved to accomplish this year. And sometimes memories from my childhood years comes to the surface for my comparison to the present and how it has manifested itself or not. And one of those childhood dreams that resurfaced recently, and I think it was in seventh grade that I first really had this dream, this vision, that I was going to be an architect in San Diego working on high-rises. However, I did forget one thing in that vision, and that was the need for money and how to fit that goal in there. And so having had that vision, it also made me realize that there's one thing that I emphatically will not do, and those are resolutions. Studies have demonstrated that a high percentage of failure when one proposes resolution, that there's a high percentage of failure when one proposes resolutions, which implies completion, done, or no other option. For instance, to stop cigarette smoking, eliminate alcohol. Those aren't decisions that manifest overnight. I know that for a fact. I know there's exceptions. And rather, I opt to resolve in the forthcoming year, which means to decide on course of action and to set that course of action into motion by pronouncing it into the form of words, also known as affirmations. Anticipation. My days, every day, are spent in anticipation because that is what architects do. Bucky Fuller, the architect, had the perfect description for an architect. They are a comprehensive anticipatory design scientist, in a nutshell. We spend our days really contemplating what it is the user groups would like. They spend the time with us, countless hours with us, telling us what it is that they're after, what they need, really. And what this is doing is forming the pieces of the puzzle that go into ultimately taking all these pieces of the puzzle and orchestrating into something of hopefully beauty, of something that the client would like. And so all day long during this anticipation, I spend my days thinking, okay, well, what if scenarios? We have to think of those things when it comes to architecture, because architecture, really, a building is a living, breathing organism. And so it's susceptible to forces outside of itself, such as earthquakes, such as floods. And so these are things that I have to anticipate. What if these things happen? What will these forces impose upon this structure of beauty? And so I've learned to apply this mechanism of anticipating to real life circumstances. It reminds me of when we were children and growing up and how we would play make-believe. Researchers found that children who play in imaginative ways make significant gains in readiness skills. And so before the concept of a building really comes to fruition, all these things that I just spoke will dictate the type of building, the type of mechanical, electrical, and technological systems, and the various other constituent parts. It's really the inner workings of what goes into the assembly of a structure, that living, breathing organism. It's what really is dictated by what's inside of it that ultimately dictates what you see on the exterior. And so, using anticipation, I resolve, and so I resolved to make this mechanism and partake in a new game. It's called the Game of Life. And no, this is not Milton's version of the Game of Life that I'm referring to. It's an alternative approach to life. And like any game, there are rules that go as follows. And as described in this magnificent saying, watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. And watch your habits, for they become character. And watch your character, for they become your destiny. And so that's the power of the spoken words. Watch your thoughts, they become words. And by the words that shall be justified and by the words that shall be condemned. For the man who knows the power of his word and who follows his intuitive leads, there is no greater accomplishment. By the word, he starts in action unseen forces and can rebuild his body or remold his affairs. It is therefore of the utmost importance to choose the right words and the affirmation he wishes to catapult into the invisible. He knows that God is his supply, that there is a supply for every demand, and that his spoken word releases this supply. Ask and ye shall receive. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you, and through the anticipation of goodwill. Watch your words, they become actions. So let's discuss your profanity. As for me, I've never spoken a swear word in my life. Who here can say that? I'm kind of curious if Millie could ever say that. Uh-oh. Really? Well, I've resolved that I will be fasting on swearing in the forthcoming year and beyond for that matter. Incidentally, as I was developing my chat for tonight, a radio program that I love to listen to on a daily basis with Dr. Catherine, which covers so many subjects, incidentally, that day that I was preparing for this, my thoughts for tonight, an individual that she was interviewing, there was an entire segment devoted to swearing and how America has grown addictive to swearing and the resulting damaging effects of swearing. And he's so passionate about it, he's also got his own website called Cuss Control Academy. And he offers some rather interesting suggestions on how to overcome the need to swear. Number one, recognize that swearing does damage. It really does. You probably swear because it's easy, fun, candid, emphatic, expressive, breaks rules, and somehow partially reduces anger and pain. But the negatives outweigh the positives. You really don't win an argument by swearing. You don't prove that you're smart or articulate. You don't earn respect or admiration. You don't motivate. You don't intimidate. swearing doesn't get you hired either. Number two, start by eliminating casual swearing. Pretend that your sweet little grandmother or your granddaughter or your daughter is always next to you. Think positively, look to the bright side, develop a can-do attitude. Worry only to the point that motivates you to prepare for the problem. Then hope for the best. Number four, practice being patient. I don't have a problem with that. How about you? When you are stuck in line or in traffic, ask yourself if a few more minutes matters. Be honest, does it really matter? Just a couple more minutes? Cope, don't cuss. We live in an imperfect world, yet our expectations continually increase. Each day can be filled with aggravations, delays, disappointments, frustrations. The fact is, we have to deal with them anyway, so stop cussing and learn to cope. Stop complaining. Have you ever been around one of those types? Before you start griping or whining about something, remind yourself of a very important reality. No one wants to hear it. Instead, others will admire your common sense, wisdom, and calm approach to the problem. Use alternative words, for example, instead of BS. Choices could range from lie, fabrication, nonsense, and exaggeration to baloney and balderdash. They might not give you satisfaction at first, but they will eventually. Make number eight, make your point politely. Think of the response to what you're about to say and decide if you need to reword your statement to be more effective. Take the time to make your point in a mature and convincing manner. I feel like I'm scolding. Number nine, think of what you should have said. It is easy to blurt out a swear word or at an inappropriate time or to bark out a tactless or tasteless remark before you have a chance to consider the impact. Think of what you could have said. Over time, these exercises will train you to think and act differently. Work at it. Turn it into a habit. Breaking the swearing habit might prove to be no easier than losing weight, giving up cigarettes, or correcting any other habit. It takes practice and a true desire to be a better person, not only by controlling your language, but the emotions that prompt your answer to swear. Mary, my sweet, dear friend Mary, she is so lovely, she is so pretty, beautiful golden locks hair, so pretty until she opens up her mouth. Every other word, every other sentence, F you, F this, F that. Wow. It's not good. It's a really bad. It's not beautiful at all. Watch your actions. They become habits. Follow the path of love, and all the things are added, for God is love, and God is supply. Follow the path of selfishness and greed, and the supply vanishes, or man is separated from it. Watch your habits, they become character. I was listening to an interview of the young lad who kicked the winning field goal in the most incredible comeback win just recently at the Rose Bowl parade by USC. And if you haven't heard this kid's story, he never had any intention on playing football. I think he said that it was only 3 years ago that he had never set foot on a football field, never played football. His dad played football professionally and was crushed to learn that his son prefers baseball. Upon graduating from high school, baseball, it turns out, was not going to be a viable pursuit and turned his focus to football. By the way, he went to the local Cathedral High School here in San Diego. And so he was encouraged to pursue a camp for kickers that was being sponsored by Saddleback College in Orange County. This camp was to reveal who would be the next in line for Saddleback's kicking position. The young lad contacted John Carney, and if any of you know who he is, he was the Chargers kicker for numerous years, to mentor him and began to prepare. in anticipation of winning the starting position. And this was amongst eight others trying out for the same position. He won the starting position and was there for all of one season because of another camp he participated in. This time it was for USC. And there were 120 vying for that position. And again, he was chosen over all the others. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. So why has this story captured my attention? It's the anticipation of what can be manifest. What if I can start the starting position? What if I do get it? It's that, and it's the immensely fearless faith that spoke loudly and pronounced his character, while most folks would have accepted defeat before ever trying. Oh, I've never played football. I can't do that. He asked himself, well, why not? Can I do this? And what shall I anticipate for preparation and pursuit of this? His destiny was just revealed to him. Some say it's luck. Well, I've often heard stated that there is no luck, especially in this church. As the saying goes, luck is where preparation and opportunity meet. And so it is, out of feelings, it has been said, spring actions. Actions become habit, and habits crystallize into character. The great functions of the mind should work in harmony and should be educated to work as such. So watch the thought and its way with care, and let it spring from love born out of concern for all things. Anticipate, make believe that you are already living in abundance. That infinite spirit provides for your every need in health, wealth, mind, body, and spirit. And I invite you to join me in this game called life, in anticipation of a divinely designed, magical life. And may the year 2017 be as glorious as you. Yes, you are glorious. Can you say that to yourself? I am glorious. Kind of feel. How's that feel? That's the power of the word. And so may the year 2017 be as glorious as you, overflowing with an abundance of love and joy, and much blessings.
Thank you, David.